trusting that that is translating well into your homes, into your car, wherever you may be today. I'm praying that Holy Spirit is invading your space right now. I'm asking the Father to really just awaken you to a new place of intimacy with Him. And I'm confident in this thing, that if we will not deny the power and the purpose of Holy Spirit in one's life, we can accomplish the things that He has purposed for us to do. This church has, notwithstanding the fact, been around for a very long time. We have had many, many prophetic words given to us over many, many years. We have seen some come to pass. We've seen many, if not hundreds, not come to pass. That is not the fault of the Father. That's not the fault necessarily of anyone. But they are still promises that have been made to us through the utterance of the prophet or of a prophetic word from one person to another or from a person here on the platform to our congregational family. I want to address the topic of the promise today. We are doing a series, Stuck on Repeat. And the premise of that is we're going back into our so-called archives and pulling out some messages that we feel like are very important for the hour. And today I want to address the topic and bring back the message, and the series was called More Than Words. And I want to speak today on the topic of the secret weapon, or I even like to call it the secret sauce of a believer's life. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. I'm not going to debate this morning the topic of whether or not it's the initial evidence. We as a congregation, the Assemblies of God, we believe and teach that it is the initial evidence. But it's not worth dividing over. It's not worth us arguing a semantic or necessarily a position that you may have as it relates to the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's just talk about today what it means and the power that we have in using words that are more than English, more than Espanol, which we love, more than French or German or whatever the dialect, whatever the language. We're talking this morning about a supernatural kind of language, and they're way beyond the words that we speak in English, as we'll explain in a few moments. Let's jump in. Thank you for tuning in today. We love you. We bless you. We pray His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven this morning. In Luke chapter 24, we're going to launch into some scripture. And I'm going to tell you real quick, I'm going to be speaking and reading lots of scripture today. So get your pens out, get your paper out, write these things down, because I'm not going to stop and read them two or three times so you can get them. I'm going to give you references. I may or may not read the entire text, but I want you to catch this. So here we go. Ready? You ready? I think I heard everybody say amen. Okay, here we go. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Then He said to them, this is Jesus, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Again, it says this is these words are in red, which tells me they're from Jesus. "And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." How many want to understand the scriptures more? I do. "Then He said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations.'" Did you hear that? Western Church, we are not the only church. We sometimes think we are, but we're not. Jesus, hearing His words in the New Testament, said that you need to preach My name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Here it is, context. Beginning at, and then going from there. "And you are witnesses of these things." Now, here's what I want you to catch. Verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise." I want you to say that word with me, promise. Promise. "I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry," in other words, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now I'm going to finish out the chapter, this last chapter in the book of Luke. And most of the time we don't read the last few verses, but I'm going to read them to you anyway because I think you need to hear this. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up, that was Jesus, lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. He blessed them. Now it came to pass when he blessed them that he was parted from them, and in other words, he left them, and they came to heaven. And they watched him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Excuse me, let me say it this way. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. This was after the fact that Jesus had given them a promise. He says, I'm bringing a promise to you. The promise is coming. Now, I'm getting ready to take off. And so all of a sudden, he blesses them. And in the midst of the blessing, he ascends up into heaven out of their sight. And they stood there in awe, worshiping him. And in response to what he told them, he said, now I need you to go to Jerusalem and hang out there for a while. I want to address for a few moments the idea of the promise, because I believe that in this day and age, there's a lot of promise breakers. A lot. I think if you're like I am, I'm a bit weary. Political melee, whatever it's called. I'm really tired of the political bantering back and forth. He said, she said, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. He promised, they promised, it didn't happen, it did happen. He's guilty, she's guilty, we're guilty, everybody's guilty. I'm really tired. You know what we need? We need a refreshing. We need a freedom. We need a new immersion in Holy Spirit. We need a fresh fire to be stoked inside of our hearts. We need to get off of this tangent that we're on. Pro-Trump, anti-Trump, this person, that person. That we be pro-Jesus. We'll over-spiritualize this, but hear my heart. How about if we spend as much time in the presence of Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, as we're going to talk about in a moment, than we do on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or your favorite social media site, complaining and moaning and groaning because someone said something that offended you? I remember saying this years ago. I still stand by it. I'm not sure I'm always good at it, but I try. I stole it probably from some evangelist that was speaking on TV. I know I did. I forget who it was. I think it was Joyce Meyer. I'll give her credit for it. She said, someone said, if you can be offended, you will be. And I choose not to be. Maybe it's time to stop being offended. Maybe there's too much of the flesh that's compelling us to operate. Maybe we need to get more in tune with the vertical nature of Christ in our life so that what comes out the horizontal is more reflective of the Father's heart. I'm not saying we're all guilty of this. I'm simply saying that it's time that we realign ourselves with the purpose and the promise of God. He gave us a promise, the promise of the Father in Luke chapter 24. It's basically saying Holy Spirit will be poured out on then the New Testament believers, them to bring heaven to earth. Are you bringing heaven to earth in the midst of a pandemic? You say, well, I'm shelter in place. You know what? There's probably not one person watching right now that hasn't gone outside their home since the pandemic began. That's not a statement of solidarity behind mask, no mask, whether I believe in the, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we've all had to go out for various reasons. And when we go out, we have opportunity to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. So in the name of Jesus, I'm declaring today a fresh baptism of Holy Spirit over your life. We need to be fully equipped this morning and today to be effective in this culture. We don't need what we've classified as super Christians any longer, who simply wax eloquent in their journey. We need sons and daughters of the King who understand their identity to walk in the power that was promised to them through the words of Jesus in the book of Luke, chapter 34, was it? 34. You see, what is being spoken in Luke 24 is the word power. It says, but you are to remain in Jerusalem, the city, until you're clothed. Now think about this for a moment. This morning I got dressed. I had to put all the clothes on so I didn't walk in the church naked. We would have had no church. Everything would have been shut down. Off, cameras off. Everybody would have vacated the building because PB did not clothe himself properly. Here's the word. The power that's spoken of in the book of Luke is one that is reflective of this being clothed, wrapped up in the presence of Holy Spirit. It's dunamis. See, for a lot of you, you know this. This is not new teaching. But as we need to teach it often until we get it in our spirit. Many of you, as you're listening to me right now, and maybe some of you are being tempted to turn this off because, well, I've heard this before. Well, there's a problem with that. The problem is that we can never get enough of Holy Spirit. And if we think we've arrived in a place where we understand a teaching on a particular topic, then we've elevated ourselves to a place to receive any more teaching on a particular topic. And if there's one topic that we can never get enough of, and that is the presence of Holy Spirit, and I believe we've got to get to a place where, I'm getting ahead of myself a bit, we've got to get to the place where we are speaking in English, not in our native tongue, but God-given gift of the Holy Spirit. I call it my love language. And for those of you watching right now that think that's so strange, you are so right. It is weird. It freaked me out as a kid. Certain people would speak in tongues in the sanctuary, and I would look at my dad and go, that was just strange. And sometimes the people that spoke out loud in tongues, which, to be quite honest with you, we have kind of established etiquette and stuff in our congregation where not everybody just can speak out in tongues and think it's appropriate, but that's another topic. I just remember sometimes people would speak in tongues, and it was just weird, and later on as I got older, I remember the story. I got to tell you a quick story. I remember in Orange County that we attended, there was a particular individual, and he would get up and begin to speak in tongues, and it was just super, super odd. And being a young boy, I didn't really know any difference. I would start mimicking him, and my dad said, son, don't do that. That's probably not the best thing to do. And I remember my best friend was the pastor's son, and we were making fun of a few of the people in the church, and his dad, the pastor. And here I am, a 13, 14, 15-year-old boy. He walks up to his son and myself. He says these words. He goes, kids, never forget this. I've used it many times. He said, the kingdom of God is made up of so many people. It takes all kinds to make the kingdom work. What's my point? My point is that we sometimes in supernatural living do things that seem odd to the natural mind. The speaking in tongues is an oddity outside the realm of supernatural living. Speaking in a language that we were not taught in school feels odd. It lacks reason sometimes. But as you'll find out in a moment, it's because Holy Spirit created a language that was universal. This is not a Western language. This is not a Western tongue. This is not a Western dialogue. This is a heaven dialogue brought to earth for the purpose of us living supernatural lives. Hope you're getting this. I'm going to have to really quickly go and jump in to some other things. Let me give you John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said, "Will the will of the Father and He," it said, "and I, Jesus, will the Father and He will give you another helper." The idea is, speaking of Holy Spirit, that idea of helper is this: an advocate, comforter, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, to be with you forever. We've been promised an advocate. We've been promised a comforter. We've been promised a counselor in the person of Holy Spirit. Verse 25 in John's Gospel says this: I have told you these things while I'm still with you. You have no need currently for what is coming. That is the promise of my Father, to send someone to help you walk in the power that's been promised. How many know that we need help in walking our journey? It's no surprise that I'm like you, you're like me. We all struggle with things. We struggle with the way we think. We struggle with the way we see life. We struggle in relationship. We struggle sometimes in marriage. We struggle sometimes in raising our children. We sometimes struggle in our jobs. We need help. We need a comforter. We need a counselor. And sometimes that help has to be beyond the counsel and the relational context of friends and family. Sometimes we just need to tap into the person of Holy Spirit. And the problem with the tapping in, not tapping out, but the tapping in requires you to get alone with God. It requires you to spend time. It requires that you figure out a way to be vertical with Him so He can speak, so He can bring comfort, so He can bring counsel, can bring His kingdom into your life and activate it and let it flow through you. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power. Say power.
Power.
Power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you. Think about it. Ponder it for a moment. When He comes on you, not away from you, not in the back of the room, not just around, but on you, of clothing you, of wrapping Himself up around you. And you will be, here it is, and when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witnesses. Here you go, in Jerusalem, in all Judea, let's say San Diego, and Samaria, let's say California, and the ends of the earth, let's say the United States and the world. It looks to me like the very first thing that we have to look at is that we are here because the Father wanted us to be a witness of the kingdom here on earth. I got to tell you an honest opinion, like my opinion, that a lot of the reason we're in the problem, the state that we're in today, even as a nation, is because I'm convinced that the church, the ecclesia, has not left its walls long enough to make an impact on the seven mountains of culture. I'm convinced that part of this resetting of what's going on around us right now is for the purpose of us being awakened through Holy Spirit's help to get back out there and say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in my life. I want to make a difference in education. I want to make a difference in the marketplace. I want to make a difference on the mountain of government. I want to make a difference doesn't mean we're gonna reach the top of a mountain. That's never been taught. It says you need to influence the mountain that you're on. How can we do that if we don't believe Holy Spirit enough to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to live with Him, to be vertical enough that He uses us at the horizontal? I have to quickly go on. So we know Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. Really have to read this because it's classic in Pentecostal circles. Acts chapter 2. Let me read. Of course, we know verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Ability, utterance. Go with me to verse 8. And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. And it goes on through. And it says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. I think it's important to understand the different expressions that are mentioned here in the scriptures relates to tongues. In Acts 2, like I mentioned, 1 through 4, they begin to speak with other tongues and the Spirit gave them utterance. And then we're going to look for a few moments at this idea of that when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's different expressions of tongues that must be highlighted, understood. There are, I think, three specific tongues mentioned in the scripture. The first one we find in Acts 2, we just read, which is a foreign language. You say, how can that be if I don't know a particular language? Because we're talking about a supernatural impartation of the presence of Holy Spirit in your life. I've seen this in a meeting, and someone spoke in tongues, and it felt odd to me. Not wrong, just odd. Only to find out later that speaking in tongues was speaking in a language that they did not know. That's happened in this building a number of times. I probably should give you an example. One time, many years ago, a woman who never spoke out in tongues that I ever remember gave a message in tongues. And when she spoke it, it felt odd to me. Fast forward to the end of the story. Later on, there was a guest group in our church that night. And the person that was in charge of the worship and the meeting happened to be an islander, someone from the islands. And when the person began to speak in tongues, and I was talking to this person into the service, I said, oh, by the way, I need to let you know that when that person began to speak in tongues, they were speaking to me. I said, how is that? They said, well, and I think they're Fijian. He said, well, when they began to speak in tongues, it caught my attention because they were speaking perfect Fijian, or whatever Fijian language is. I think it's Fijian. I'm like, you're kidding me. And interesting enough, sidebar note, there was another person in the service that had given a message in tongues and interpreted that tongues, and it was completely off. It wasn't even close to the message that one person gave in a foreign tongue, Fijian tongue, specific to the one person that was there that understood the language. That's supernatural lifestyle. Where are you in this whole supernatural living? Second tongue is the language of angels, 1 Corinthians 13:1. We're not going to go there, but you can read it. And then the 1 Corinthians 14:14 is probably where a lot of us is in 1 Corinthians 14:14, the language of the Spirit, where we speak in an unknown tongue to the Father. I'm trying to think of where we need to go here because we have a lot to cover and we don't have much time. Let me just say this. Somebody might be asking, don't we get Holy Spirit when we're saved? The answer is absolutely 100% yes. When you invite Jesus into your heart, you're fully saved. Holy Spirit comes in your life. He comes to dwell in us, Romans 8. However, this is only the beginning of the Holy Spirit's person's life if they'll allow it. Think about this illustration. If you took this glass, this cup of water, and I take a drink, that drink that's in that cup is now inside of me. Now, if I were to take and open my mouth and pour in the water yourself, you quickly see that the water is now not just in them, but it's now come upon them. And then if I take another drink of water that is in me and I jump into a swimming pool, you are now in the water, even though you've got inside of you. In other words, when we drink of the Spirit, when we are saved, but the Holy Spirit wants to do more and more with us. He wants to totally engulf us, not just take a drink, not just have him in us, but he wants to engulf us, empower us, enlarge us with his power. For example, we can find in Ephesians chapter 19 that Paul visited the city of Ephesus and found a group of Christians there. He asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? In other words, they've accepted God and Christ into their hearts. These were born-again believers who had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but they had yet to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, I don't have time to go into that, but you can look up Acts 19, 1 through 7, and see it for yourself. We got to go on. Let's talk about the promise. Luke 3:16, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to unloose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We need a baptism of Holy Spirit, and we need a fresh baptism of fire. No longer doing Christian things, to do that thing is not enough. We're going to enter into a post-pandemic era. My question is, what if we never went back to anything we've ever known? I'm just hypothetical. What if we're entering into an era of biblical proportions? Are we prepared physically, spiritually, emotionally to be able to navigate the times that are before us? Or will the chasm between righteousness and unrighteousness get broader and broader and broader, and many more people begin to fall away from God because they're not in tune with the presence of God, and they're not spending time with Jesus and speaking in their heavenly language? Because as we don't have time even to go into today, but when you pray in the Spirit, it does not edify your brain. It does not edify your mind. It edifies your spirit, man. And it strengthens your determination to walk with God like you've never walked before. And the weapon fashioned against you can prosper. When something comes your way in this era that we're living, does it take you off point? Does it take you into a place where you begin to question and doubt everything you've ever known? I have news for you. When you walk in the Spirit, when you talk in tongues, when you understand the power that's come inside of you, that weapon that's been fashioned and formed by the evil one to cause you to take your mind and your heart off the person of Jesus, it will have effect. But when you're walking in tune with the Father and you're walking in a place of complete security and knowing I don't have to feel perfect every moment, but when I know my security is found in Christ, look at this. No fiery dart that's shot your way will have effect. It's like a fiery dart, a big flaming arrow comes your way, it hits you. Because of the Word of God, because of the Holy Spirit inside of you, it extinguished immediately. No effect, no impact, no power over your life. Okay, I'm going to give these to you quick. Okay, here we go. Here's the bennies. I call them the bennies, the benefits of a person who speaks in tongues. Number one, it will edify you. It edifies you. I mentioned that. 1 Corinthians 14:14. One who speaks in tongues edifies himself. That means to build up, strengthen, recharge. You need recharging? Speak in tongues. Matter of fact, if I don't say anything else today, let's just use that as almost like a capstone of our conversation. If for no other reason, pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, because of this point right here, 1 Corinthians 14:4, to build you up, to strengthen you, to recharge you. If we ever needed a day that feels like people need recharging, it's right now. Pray in the Spirit. I'm just going to stop right there. What's he saying to us right now in this moment? I didn't even get to probably speak. But maybe about 30, 40, 50% of the message. That's okay. You can take what God's already spoken and use it. Here's the fact. Some of you that are watching right now will watch. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's our Pentecostal language. You've spoken tongues. You've spoken in a language that you had not learned. But you've stopped. You're like, I lost it. No, you didn't. Talk to someone that speaks Spanish. It's like any language. If you stop using it, it's still there. It's got to begin to use it again. You got to start practicing again. Our friend Paul Goulet in Las Vegas, Pastor Paul, he's a French-Canadian, and he spoke his native tongue in his childhood, but didn't speak it in his adult years until God called him back to France. And supernaturally, God released his tongue of speaking French so he could communicate again, or I shouldn't say again, but communicate with the Frenchies, as they call them. Supernaturally, that tongue he had, he brought it back, had to start practicing it, start using it, and speaks fluently again. It wasn't lost, it was there. It's still in you. You just got to bring it back out, blow off the cobwebs, so to speak, and begin to go around. Some of you have never been or experienced this post-conversion. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that if you need someone to pray with you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so you can be recharged, so you can be strengthened, so you can have this dynamic, explosive power inside of you to be a kingdom person, let us know. Right now, even as you're watching, type it in. Go go to one of the people on there that is reaching out to you on the live feed. Send us a note. Send us a comment. Let us know. We'd be honored to pray with you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And for many of you that are watching that are tongue-talking crazies, I love you and I bless you for that. Keep it up. I would even say pick up your game. More than words is the topic. When you speak in tongues, it's way beyond what you understand in the natural. By faith, you speak it out and believe that heaven comes down into that moment and infuses your spirit man with the presence of Holy Spirit. I close with this thought. Just a few weeks, we have what many are saying is the most important election of our lifetime. I heard that 4 years ago. It does feel like every election cycle gets more and more intense. I don't know how much more intense it can get than what it is right now. But hear my heart. Whatever happens in November, whoever gets elected, don't be dismayed. When you walk with the Father, you can walk in peace. When you walk in Holy Spirit's power, you can still walk in kingdom authority. You know, when you read scripture and you read stories of the past, we were never promised peace and prosperity forever. I don't know what the future holds, but this I do know. If God be for me, who can be against me? I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. He's living and breathing inside sons and daughters, and he's looking for us, his children, to come alive. Now is the best time for us to come alive. I bless you today. I don't know that I gave this topic the due diligence it deserves. This is probably 2 or 3 weeks of teaching, but I do pray you be encouraged today to walk in Holy Spirit's power.